music. Tonight from midnight, Don Letts. Right now, Guy Garvey's finest hour.
Who put Garvey on the air?
The B, Barry BC, that's who.
A cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin, but don't go in. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you feel. The kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you feel. Kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. He loves only gold. Only gold. He
there we go. Of course, that was Shirley Bassey with Goldfinger. I'll tell you why I played that song, in case you're a little baffled. Can you have degrees of bafflement, or are you just baffled or not baffled? Anyway, I'll tell you why in a minute. I'm Guy Garvey, lead singer of Elbow, and this could be my finest hour. I'm in Cardiff on tour with the band, and the hustle and bustle you can hear in the background, perhaps, is catering. I'm upstairs in catering. Villagers, the lovely lads who are supporting us on this tour, have just arrived. They're going to be in here in a minute, getting some food. The veggie shepherd's pie was to die for. I'm playing Shirley Bassey singing Goldfinger because she's from Cardiff. Did you know that? Charlotte Church is also from Cardiff, and I discovered on the interweb, so was Shakin' Stevens. A little known fact is that Mark Potter, guitarist with Elbow, wrote to Jim'll Fix It when he was a wee lad, asking if he could play guitar with Shaky. Did you know that? So we're doing a gig here tonight. Last night we were in... My God, I've forgotten. Where were we last night? Where were we last night, Claire?
Birmingham.
Birmingham, of course we were. Oh, I hope I didn't offend anybody that was at the gig. A brilliant, brilliant time we had there. It's just so bright and sunshiny today. Anyway, I'm going to play this tune by Steppenwolf. It's called Magic Carpet Ride. I absolutely adore it. Look out for the really obvious edit just before the final chorus. I think it's in the days of tape, in the days of cut and splice, somebody did a pretty... on the hoof job, and it's pretty rude interruption to the song. Anyway, apart from that, it's crazy, it's late 60s psychedelia, it's Steppenwolf, and it's Magic Carpet Ride. Rocking out in catering to that one. Steppenwolf and Magic Carpet Ride. The next tune is out on April the 11th. It's from Metronomy. I've played him before. I love it. Responsible use of synthesizers being one of my favourite things. This song's called The Look.
This time's the oldest one.
feeling you either loved that or hated it. That was Metronomy and The Look. I personally adore it.
BBC Six Music. A million reasons to listen to Sean Keevey.
Great reasons to wake up with me.
Number 787. He's always first with the big news.
Got some breaking apple news. For more than a century, the Cox has been the best-selling homegrown apple in the country. The last season, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Number 5012. He's better than the speaking clock.
It's 4 minutes to 2 minutes to eight.
Number 223,130. He's down with the kids.
Big shout out for Alex and the kids in Harrow. We're going to be waiting in for a new sofa to be delivered on Saturday. Could be any time between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m.
The Sean Keevey Breakfast Show.
Come here, kids.
Weekday mornings from 7. BBC Six Music.
Who needs a million reasons to listen?
Good heavens above. It's Guy Garvey.
Claire, who's one of our caterers, is filling in for our assistant Athena, who's been called away on charity duty. Claire's just given me my elixir. This is the stuff I drink when I'm on tour to keep my voice in check. So she's just given me a flask of honey and lemon with a little whiskey in there, I don't mind telling you. I'm going to drink that while listening to this next tune from PJ Harvey. I think this is her best album in years and years, and I love everything she's ever done. This song's called The Glorious Land, and when I heard it, I didn't know it was her. I was about halfway through the song and really sort of tuned into it and loving it, and I thought, hang on a minute, I recognise this. I don't know what I mean by that. It shares something of its production ethics with The Walkmen, who have a very, very recognisable recording style. See if you agree with me there. Anyway, this fantastic tune is called The Glorious Land. Ladies and gentlemen, PJ Harvey. My voice is completely returned to normal. That was PJ Harvey and The Glorious Land. Isn't it amazing? Do you know what I mean about the Walkman? Guy.6music@bbc.co.uk. Wonderful, inspiring, timeless music. And you know, wonderful, inspiring, timeless music don't just take care of itself. You need good police. Our Victim was a 1979 hit for Elvis Costello, whose blistering lyric was only exceeded by his energetic performance. Hailed by critics and fans alike as an anthem for angry young men, its power was all too soon diluted by the despicable efforts of some truly dreadful delinquents. First to put the boot in were Brazilian hardcore punk persecutors Ray Mundos, who drained all the musicality from it until all was left was a growling vocal and viciously thrashing guitars. It emerged scarred and clutching its bleeding ears to stagger onwards. Straight into the feedback frenzy of the equally vicious Scream Feeder, whose grinding grunge attack would almost certainly have been fatal had it not been for an unexpectedly tuneful harmony on the chorus. Then Baltimore Blarney Munger's O'Malley's March set about creating a cod Celtic karaoke cover version that was so anemic it could barely put one foot in front of the other in its efforts to escape. But when terminally tragic criminal comedians Cannon and Ball, all red braces and rictus grins, grabbed the microphone and prepared to rip the proverbial out of this seminal song, it was murder.
In the world to write Cockerea's information. Have you got yourself a talk? Oliver's army is on their way. Oliver's army is here to stay. And I would rather be anywhere else than here today.
How are you doing?
Fine.
How's he doing, Julian?
That is what can only be described as piffle.
Don't start the talking. I could talk all night. My mind was sleepwalking while I'm putting the world to right. Calcareism. Mission. Have you got yourself an occupation?
Oliver's army is here to stay. Oliver's army are on their way. And I would rather be anywhere else but here today.
There was a checkpoint, Charlie. He didn't crack a smile, but it's no laughing party when you've been
Mercifully, eventually, Elvis Costello and Oliver's Army. Many thanks to Cannon and Ball for nearly murdering that song. That was truly awful, wasn't it? Elbow are on tour. I'm in the catering area here in the arena in Cardiff that we're playing tonight. It's a beautiful, scorching sunny day. Did you know that Cardiff has more hours of sunlight than Milan? Did you know that? Look it up. Yeah, fantastic. We're playing here tonight with Villagers. I'm going to catch some rays in a minute, and I might go out to where the trucks are to do the next segment of the show. First of all, though, a plea. Elbow, listen to music to buzz them up before we go on stage, every gig. And this song has been the song that we listen to last before we go on stage for quite a while now. We're looking for a new one. What would you recommend? Specifically, Elbow buzz up songs. guy.6music@bbc.co.uk. That's guy.6music@bbc.co.uk. But for now, here's the old favourite. This is TV on the Radio and Halfway Home. So that was TV on the Radio and Halfway Home. I've left catering now, and as you can probably hear, I'm wandering down a corridor in the arena, which is lined of photographs of famous people who've performed here. There's Michael Ball, Mickey, BB King. Oh my goodness. Oh no. I thought it was Shirley Bassey, who I mentioned not so long ago. It's actually Gladys Knight. Her face, contorted in song, resembled the Bassey a little bit. Anastasia there, and a heavy fire exit later. The Specials, there's my mate Terry. I'd love to see that live, I've not seen it yet. The Nolans, of course, and the Four Tops. We once had a lying bastard of a bus driver who claimed to have stood in for one of the Four Tops when one of them got ill. Absolute nonsense. There's Kasabian, Lost Prophets, and of course, a Cliff of Richards. We've yet to see an elbow picture on the wall of one of these arenas. You never know, one day. We've not been playing in that long, I suppose. Oh, Deacon Blue. My, I was a huge fan. Ridian, never heard of him. And G4, appalling. There's the lads from Keen and Judas Priest. And there's Jules Holland. I'm just popping out the exit now. Hello, love.
Hi, you alright?
Yeah, great, thanks. That's one of the friendly local security. And I'm really coming out here to show off to all the boys that are listening about how many trucks are on tour with Elbow. We've got three tour buses, I think. One, two, three, four, five Arctics, eh? Just showing off, really. Okay, what should we have next? Oh, this has got a rawness to it. This is Sarah Beth Tusek's latest song. It's called The State That I'm In. There's something really honest and direct about it. I absolutely love it. And I can't get over just how beautiful Cardiff looks in the sunshine.
I've been seeing you around with the state that I'm in. I've been thinking about you and where you have been. Are you someplace now where you always fit in?
Sarah Beth Tusek and the state that I'm in. A great lyric to it, and a beguiling rawness. Speaking of which, it only struck me the other day that while listening to it intently over and over again, I haven't played any of the new Radiohead album on the programme. So here now is Lotus Flower, which I think comes out in hard copy tomorrow. If you haven't yet downloaded it, you can buy it hard copy tomorrow. From King of Limbs, here it is, Radiohead and the beautiful Lotus Flower. The beautiful Lotus Flower from Radiohead. I've just run into ace guitarist Mark Potter from Elbow. Pot, I was naming famous people from Cardiff at the beginning of the programme, and you've got Shirley Bassey, you've got Charlotte Church, and you've got Shaky Stevens.
Shaky. My hero.
Exactly. So, did you ever get a reply?
I met him at Glastonbury, didn't I?
Yeah.
And Yeah, he seemed very nice. Although he didn't like the photographers around us.
Right. Hey, that's your phone
that's
ringing.
Phoner.
That's a phone
Sorry
interview.
To bugger off on you.
That's all right, mate. That was Mark Potter there, fessing up to the shaky thing. So, I'm outside. All the rest of the band have got phone interviews coming in at this moment. I've skillfully avoided that task by making this programme for you. The Villagers lads have got a football out. And, all is well with the world on tour here. In fact, you could describe it as, here it comes, what a link, that summer feeling. Here's Jonathan Richman.
Folks, what less things to do, not because you gotta. When you run for love, not because you oughta. When you trust your friends with no reason, nada. This joy I've named shall not be tamed. That summer feeling's gonna haunt you the rest of your life. When the cool of the pond makes you drop down on it. When the smell of the lawn makes you flop down on it. When the teenage car gets the cop down on it. That time is here for one more year. That summer feeling's gonna haunt you the rest of your life. If you've forgotten what I'm naming, you're gonna long to reclaim it one day. You see, that summer feeling's gonna haunt you the rest of your life.
Summer feeling, dip summer feeling.
But if you wait until you're older, a sad resentment will smolder one day. And then this summer feeling will come haunt you. Then that summer feeling will come taunt you. That summer feeling will hurt you later in your life. I speak of summer feeling. When the playground that just was all dirt comes haunting, and someone who called you a flirt comes taunting. It's not that these things alone were appealing. What I'm now revealing is a certain feeling. That summer feeling's gonna haunt you the rest of your life.
Summer feeling, dip summer feeling, dip summer feeling.
What time? Well, just me. When the Oldsmobile has got the top down on it. When the catamaran has got the drop down on it. When the flat of the land has got the crop down on it. What I now proclaim is sort of hard to name. But that summer feeling's gonna haunt you the rest of your life. But even fourth grade starts looking good, which you hated. And first grade's looking good too, overrated. And you boys long for some little girl that you dated. Do you long for her or the way you were? That summer feeling's gonna haunt you the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That feeling's gonna haunt you. That feeling's gonna haunt you, yeah.
That summer feeling,
well,
that summer feeling, that summer feeling,
that summer feeling.
Jonathan Richman and That Summer Feeling. That's for Badger. I'm missing her. I'll be home soon. She loves that tune. The next song I'm going to play for you is Zebra by Beach House. I'm now sat in the passenger seat of our luxury coach, as our driver Dave is fond of calling it. I don't think he's fond of the bus. Basically what happens is when we all pile on the bus at the end of a night, Tom shouts, "Are we a bus?" And if nobody notices that anyone's missing, There's a head count and off we go. And whenever he shouts, "Are we a bus?" Dave, who's driven the band since we first started touring, getting on for 12 years now, says, "No, we are not a bus, we are a luxury coach." So there you go. Yeah, I'm looking out the front window. Mark Potter's doing a phone interview. Pete Turner's doing a phone interview. And in a bizarre twist of events, Dave, the bus driver, is being interviewed by a guy from a music industry magazine who's talking to all the crew. So there you go, even Dave's being interviewed. I bet all the Elbow Boys are actually saying the same thing, because they'll all be answering the same questions. But hey, it's a small price to pay. Yeah, I'm going to play Zebra by Beach House. I want particularly to listen to the chords on the chorus of this song. The way it picks up, it's just an incredible, sweeping, beautiful melody all over the chorus. Yeah, concentrate on the chords. Zebra. House and Zebra. That's Pete Turner's favourite album of the moment. He tends to have two or three records a year that he just absolutely listens to on loop. Mrs. Badger's a little bit like that as well, as I must say. Anyway, there you go.
BBC Six Music. The Joy of Six Podcast. A shortcut to the week's best interviews and documentaries from BBC Six Music, including Elbow, in conversation with Lauren Laverne.
Guy did a bit of rapping.
It's something I do soundcheck quite a lot. I do like a John Barnes-style rap.
And how did the crowd react?
They went mild. The crowd went mild.
Jim Jones Review, in session. Plus, Jessica Lee Mayfield.
What size shoes do you take?
Oh, a women's 10. Did someone tell you? No, I'm just kidding.
No, they didn't. No, I mean...
talk about her feet. She'll get real fired up.
The Joy of Six Podcast. Available now at the Six Music website.
Thank goodness for hydrostatic equilibrium.
Oh, and Guy Garvey's finest hour on Six Music.
So, still in the front of our luxury coach, as Dave would insist I call it. The Cardiff Hare Krishnas are walking past at the moment. It's a beautiful sunny day. I don't know if you can hear it in the background, but sound check is beginning. The old drum has kicked up there. Some other business before I go in and rattle my tonsils. I had a very interesting email off a young man called Daniel. He says, hello there, guy. So it was a typical Christmas family get-together, same old conversations, until Grandad dropped the elbow bomb. I said, so what have you been up to, Grandad? He said, not much. Just singing for this band called Elbow. Have you heard of them? I said, have I? As a regular listener to your finest hour show and a huge fan of Elbow, you could probably guess my reaction. There you go. He then goes on to tell me all sorts of really fascinating stuff about his granddad. His granddad is John Mosley, who's the gentleman that sang the reprise of a song called The Birds on our latest record. Very, very sweet gentleman with a really interesting history as it goes. A nice surprise for Daniel Lundy, who I believe I'll be meeting on Friday. I've got a bit of a stammer today. I'll be meeting him on Friday when we play Manchester Arena. Of course, by the time you hear this programme, that will have come to pass as I pre-record the show on the road. Thank you very much for your email. Jim's been in touch, Jim Sangster. And do you remember me asking about whether or not the BBC Archive, had the Oscar Peterson Invites programme in the archive? Well, he's very, very kindly gone and found the catalogue numbers for me. I'm going to order them up, and if they're great, I might suggest that somebody puts them on the air. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Other business? In fact, my tour manager wanted something then. Let me finish this first. Lisa Johnston says, I was just listening in the shower to a beautiful song you identified as Disappear, but due to the noisy showerhead, I missed the artist. Can you identify best, Lisa? Lisa, it was My Brightest Diamond. My Brightest Diamond, a beautiful song, Disappear is too. I might play it again next week. Timber Tambra have this beautiful song now. I think this is out at the moment. It's called Blackwater, and it sounds something like this.
All I need is some sunshine. All I need. All I need is some sunshine. All I need.
Beyond the tree line, with another one for the caves, and in the tar beyond those birches, it's a spirit that I crave. And from the island, people watched you. Set that Viking ship ablaze. We reach the moon falls, icy cauldron, and found the spirit that I crave.
Oh, I need some sunshine. I need.
Crazy low frequencies flying about here in Cardiff as we test the enormous rig. About 10,000 people coming to see us this evening, and I'm getting excited about it. Paul in Newton Abbot has been in touch with a song for Guy recommendation. This is by Elizabeth Cotton and it's called Spanish Flang Dang. Bless the BBC engineer who has to remove all the offensive low frequencies from the show this week. Sorry about that.
Six Music.
Guy Garvey's Finest Hour. Listening is doing your duty.
Hiding
was the Sugar Cubes and Birthday. The first time I became aware of Bjork, who was in the Sugar Cubes, of course. I'm very excited to find out that Bjork is debuting a new show as part of Manchester International Festival this year. A fantastic festival, that is, that we've been involved with a couple of times, run by a very good friend of mine, Alex Poots. A good friend since meeting him over the festival, as it goes. But yeah, that should be fantastic. It's going to be absolutely brilliant, that. I'm going to play you a tune by Dodos. I'm in one of our dressing rooms here at Cardiff. We've sound checked and everybody's doing various things to prepare. I normally have a sleep before we go on stage. About 2 hours before we go on stage, I go back to the bus and climb into my bunk, which most tour buses tend to be done out in purple and pine, which gives them quite a funeral home kind of aspect. But anyway, yeah, I usually crawl into my coffin for an hour, and then I'm woken up an hour before the gig, and that's when the pacing begins. Anyway, so when I'm on the road, this radio show tends to pick up in pace a little bit. I don't know if you've noticed. This next song is no exception. It's by Dodos, it's called Fools, and I love it.
I've been silent. 1976, New York Magazine published a piece by British music journalist Nick Cohen, which was to spawn one of the most iconic movies ever made. The article, Tribal Rights of the New Saturday Night, focused on the emerging dance club scene in New York, singling out an arrogant young man named Vincent and his weekly transformation from bored teenager in a dead-end job to strutting peacock and king of the disco. He was the inspiration for Tony Manero, Travolta's hip-swiveling, polyester suit-wearing Lothario, and within a year, Saturday Night Fever had exploded onto the screen. It's difficult to overestimate its impact on music, fashion and youth culture. Rather than capturing the zeitgeist, it dictated it, and suddenly everyone was wearing open-neck shirts and medallions, and the charts were full of pounding dance beats. Riding the crest of the wave were the Bee Gees, whose stratospheric vocals and adrenaline-fueled disco beats helped to make Saturday Night Fever one of the best-selling film soundtracks of all time. Long after disco was declared dead following a punk-fueled riot at the ominously named Disco Demolition Night in 1979, it emerged that the subject of Nick Cohen's original article was completely fictitious. But by that point, it no longer mattered. The trend that defined the 70s had come and gone, leaving behind it some really bad fashion choices and a legacy of music that still has the power to get a room full of people on their feet. And why am I telling you this? Because you need to know.
We'll be right back.
The Bee Gees, as chosen by the wonderful Beccapedia. More things we need to know next week.
Guy Garvey, the right side of the celestial equator.
I've been thinking about King Crimson an awful lot on account of their amazing drum work and their responsible use of synthesizers, very old vintage synths. We constantly referred to In the Court of the Crimson King while the band were making our last record. Lots of the moves from it are pretty much prog Bible, I'd say. I don't know what you think of this next tune. It's 10 minutes long. It's In the Court of the Crimson King. It's from the album of that name. And in true prog style, it's got some pretty nonsense lyrics in it. But a beautiful, massive, dramatic piece of music. Turn it up, sit back and relax. Here's King Crimson.
Shattered by the sun, I walk a road, horizons change, the tournament's begun. The purple piper plays his tune, the choir softly sing. Three lullabies in an ancient tongue for the court of the crimson. The keeper of the city keys put shutters on the dreams. I wait outside the pilgrim's door with insufficient schemes. The black queen chants the funeral march, the cracked brass bells will ring to summon back the fire witch to the court of the crimson.
cry, the wise men share a joke. I run to grasp divining signs to satisfy the hoax. The yellow jester does not play, but gently pulls the strings. Smiles as the puppet stands in the court of the crimson.
Glory in the court of the Crimson King from King Crimson. If that's the first time you've ever heard that tune, I wouldn't imagine it is for a lot of you, but if that's the first time you've heard it and you were struck by it, if you enjoyed it, please do let me know. guy.6music@bbc.co.uk. That's the same address if you have any song for Guy recommendations. I stress recommendations rather than requests. Try and pick a song that you think I may have overlooked or not heard for some reason. Not necessarily because it's obscure, but maybe because it was old when it was popular or something, or rather it's a long time since it's been popular. Try and base your choices on the music that I play on the show. All the music that I make with Elbow and various other people. It's guy.6music@bbc.co.uk. Here's a lovely email from Evie in Plymouth. She says, Guy, just stopping by to say hello. Your show sets me up for a lovely relaxing evening before my hectic week starts again, so thanks. I appreciate your choice in music. Could you play something by the Low Anthem? This band use all sorts of unusual instruments, which makes it worthwhile listening to and appreciating at the same time for each talent in the group. Evie in Plymouth. Well, this is one of the more simpler Low Anthem tunes. What's unusual about this song is the vocals, the harmonica, everything in it is very, very note precise. It's another example of digital recording techniques becoming part of the style and of the production of a song, to the point where it's part of the writing. This song has been auto-tuned to within an inch of its life and benefits from it massively. It's an incredible song with some pretty big themes by a wonderful band. It's Charlie Darwin for Evie in Plymouth. This is the Low Anthem. we are. That's the Low Anthem and Charlie Darwin for Evie in Plymouth. Another Song for Guy recommendation here is from Oliver Tate in Brighton. He says, "Hello Guy, I'd like to recommend the song First She Starts from the album A Bed of Roses by the late Lal Waterson. Lal Waterson is one of the most subtly brilliant musicians I've ever heard. She only did two proper solo albums before she died in 98, although she was well known for singing with her family, the Watersons, during and after the revival of the traditional song in the 50s and 60s. Lal's songwriting transcended easy definition, and her solo music is the sound of a writer who spoke with her own voice and a graceful synthesis of all the music she herself loved. I've never heard her music on the radio, and she's almost categorically overlooked, as most traditional singers have been until recently. Anyway, play her song, and I hope you like it. Oliver Tate in Brighton." Well, Oliver, you may be delighted to know that I played this very song back in August of 07. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't I a smug get? It was on a compilation that Rough Trade put out, 30 Years of Rough Trade compilation, in 2007, and I fell in love with her music through it. In fact, I'm going to play another of her songs later on in the show, if I have the time. Her sister, Norma Waterson, her voice bears a striking resemblance to Lal's, unless it's the same woman and I've got my facts wrong here, but I think this is Lal Waterson singing At First She Starts.
At first she starts, and then she's startled. I see that light in her eyes. Didn't you realize you were a bird? At dawn when you woke with a hair in your phrase at the end of the bar, a long and high refrain, hanging around for the choir to strike sound, so she can holler your joy and pain. So
was Lal Waterson and At First She Starts. Let's dive into the BBC archive and return clutching a pill from the past. Here's one of Robbie Coltrane's Desert Island Disc choices.
I was very careful there, Robbie, to describe you as a comic actor, not as a comedian. You make a very strong differentiation between the two, don't you?
Well, it's not really because of any sort of snobbery or because I think being a comic actor is any better a craft than being a comedian, but I just think that being a comedian is such a different thing, really. A comedian really is somebody who stands up alone on the stage and offers the world his sensibility, which is an enormously brave thing to do. And I get up on the stage and hide behind sensibilities that are usually written by other people, and I think, you know, it's a fair distinction. Orson Welles, I suppose, is one of my all-time heroes. I just liked everything he did, really.
Didn't a film critic once compare you to him? Made your day, if
yes,
not your
very,
life.
It was Pauline Kael, no less, God bless her. That was her last review for The New Yorker. She just gave up. I think really she meant the size and the voice. But, you know, you could do a lot worse.
Record number three.
Oh, yes, the Harry Lime theme.
Chosen by Robbie Coltrane as one of his Desert Island discs, that was Anton Karas and the Harry Lime theme. I'm Guy Garvey, the lead singer of Elbow. This could be my finest hour. I'm making the show, pre-recording the show for you in Cardiff, where Elbow are playing tonight, and I'm in the quietest place in the building, which, if you'll believe it, is one of our dressing rooms. I say the quietest place in the building, but there's constant hubbub surrounding the gig, so there you go, there's our Danny coming in as we speak. Don't worry, Danny. That's Danny, our sound engineer, a sound man in every way. Okay, I'm going to play a tune by Richard Hawley, which was recorded at Blueprint Studios as part of the Glenfiddich Whiskey promotion. It's a song called The Barrel. Richard was charged with writing and recording three songs in a couple of days, and he was given his pick of musicians and got together with some wonderful people. And we live in the attic of the wonderful Blueprint Studios, which is in Salford, just on the edge of Manchester City Centre. And Richard, of course, being an old friend, came up and asked me to come and listen to what he'd done. This spellbinding piece of music was just written and performed in a couple of days, and it's rare that a song ever sounds as good as it did the first time you hear it, especially if that first time is on an amazing studio setup. But I was delighted to hear this when it was released. It's just as affecting and emotional and wonderful as it was the first time I heard it. Richard came and played with us in Sheffield. He did his Lionel Blair walk-on bit for our song The Fix that we wrote together, and it was great to see him. He's halfway through his next project. And here he is, the lovely man, with from the Glenfiddich Project. This is Richard Hawley with The Barrel.
Life in a barrel. stars. I guess the time tries its changes, never moving too fast or far. I'm seeing everything in your eyes. I'm seeing everything in your eyes. Everything in your eyes. Seeing everything in your eyes.
It was Richard Hawley and The Barrel, recorded in Blueprint Studios, and I was lucky enough to be one of the first people to hear it, I'm very proud to say. Wonderful voice, wonderful man. Another wonderful man that I'm sat with now, I'm very happy to say, is Conor O'Brien, who is Villagers, is that right?
Yeah.
Conor You're touring with us at the minute, and it's been a pleasure sharing the stage with you every night. We haven't managed to see you from out front, apart from at sound checks yet. We've not caught your whole performance because we can't go out there for fear of being mobbed and carried away over people's shoulders. So we've actually got a box so we can watch your set.
Really?
Yeah. We've hired a box so the band can watch it, because the noises you're making are incredible. It's such a great live show. It really is. How long have you been playing with the guys that are playing with you now?
The first show we did was the very end of 08, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was supporting a local band in Dublin. And then our second ever show was like a week later, opening for Cass McCombs.
I just come across Cass's stuff through my friend Chris Devlin.
Beautiful, yeah. Really beautiful. He's got like 3 or 4 amazing albums.
Yeah, something to go and explore that. I've only heard a couple of tunes, but very struck by it, especially by his lyrical prowess.
Mm.
Your lyrical style, how would you describe it? It's lots of sort of fragmented, you jump from happy to paranoid to, do you know what I mean? It's all over the place. How do you write your songs? Is there a set format?
No, that's the problem. I think that's why I find it hard to sort of latch on to sort of any sort of rhythm or anything. So mm-hmm. I tend to kind of begin sometimes with the music and sometimes with the words, and most of the time I don't even know how the song's going to end up. It's usually just trying to let each sentence sort of suggest the next sentence.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know a bit about that as well, maybe.
Well, I'll tell you what then, more specifically, let's talk about the first song of yours that I ever heard, which was Becoming a Jackal.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to play that in a second. If not the subject matter of the song, what can you tell us about the time it was written? Or
it began as a drawing, actually. I started the front cover of our album. I was doing a little sketch, and I had a painting I did called Becoming a Jackal, and it was just about, do you know the image of Caravaggio did it of Narcissus looking at his own reflection? It's like an old Greek thing where he freezes and he sort of...
It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ringing a bell.
Basically, I did my own version of that, and in my version, the reflection was like a jackal uh-huh. image, and I was I think I was pretty depressed about humanity at the time. In general, as we all get. So I don't know, I was just trying to flesh out sort of ideas of being taken away from innocence and childhood and moving into the world and mm-hmm. becoming one of them, mm-hmm. one of the creatures.
Well, I love it, and that's a stirring way to introduce the song.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful rest of the tour. Are you going to be at any of the British festivals over the summer?
Yeah, we're going to do Green Man. I've heard that's a pretty
great
good one. And yeah. Latitude.
Another great one, yeah.
And Tea in the Park as well.
So. Oh, well, great. Make sure you catch Villagers this summer, if you possibly can. Amazing live band, just as good, if not better, than they are on the record, I think. I think a few of your songs do benefit from being played live a lot, if you don't mind me saying
so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah.
And a lovely bunch of people as well. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Cheers for talking to us, Connor. And here we have Villagers with Becoming a Jackal.
Most familiar wounds, every implement was leading to you, and your homely sense of disarray, never once the same, always rearranged, but things would never change. In the scene between the window frame, where the jackals preyed on every soul, where they tied you to a pole and stripped you of your clothes.
I was a dreamer, staring out windows, out onto the main street, 'cause that's where the dream goes. And each time they found fresh meat to chew, I would turn away and return to you. You would offer me your unmade bed, feed me till I'm fed, read me till I'm read. But when the morning came, you would catch me at the window again, in an eyes wide open sleeping state, staring into
life, no look upon my face. I was a dreamer, staring out windows, out onto the main street, 'cause that's where the dream goes. And when I got older, when I grew bolder, out onto the streets I flew. Truth, you should wonder what I'm taking from you, how I benefit from you being here, lending me your ears while I'm selling you my fears.
The lovely Villagers, who are supporting Elbow on this tour of the UK. What a great bunch of people they are. And that was Becoming a Jackal. I'll be hearing that live in about half an hour. Lucky old me.
BBC Six Music. A million reasons to listen to Sean Keevey.
Great reasons to wake up with me.
Number 787. He's always first with the big news.
Got some breaking Apple news. For more than a century, the Cox has been the best-selling homegrown apple in the country. In the last season, so I don't know where I'm going with this.
Number 5012. He's better than the speaking clock.
It's 4 minutes to 2 minutes to eight.
Number 223,130. He's down with the kids.
Big shout out for Alex and the kids in Harrow. We're going to be waiting in for a new sofa to be delivered on Saturday. Could be any time between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m.
The Sean Keevey Breakfast Show.
Quick kid!
Weekday mornings from 7. BBC Six Music.
Who needs a million reasons to listen?
Mantra Luna. Mantra Luna.
Fats Waller, What Will I Do in the Morning? I find this hysterically funny. I've fallen in love with Fats Waller, who, whether it was his act or whether or not it was just who he was always the drunk. An amazing jazz pianist, a real character. Thank you very much to Peter Elliott, who turned me on to Fats Waller through this very show in the first place. Have a listen to the words of What Will I Do in the Morning.
How can I go on
Ah, talk to me, ain't no nice. What are you, who are you hissing? You got a heart, ain't you? Well, why not use it? Yeah. Why, huh? What? Well, why take my heart? Yeah, baby. And abuse it. Well, all right, then. How can I live? I gave all there was to give. Tell me just what will I do in the morning? Ah, talk to me. Tell me something sweet. Call me a yard dog, anything, baby. Just talk to me, sweet. What will I do in the morning? Talk to me, talk to me.
Talk to him. That was Fats Waller and What Will I Do in the Morning. And that brings us to the end of our show. As well as thanking the Beckopedia for her contribution to the programme and to everybody in Manchester that's going to stitch this all together for me before it's broadcast for you on Sunday, to Michelle and Peter and Boz and everybody at Six Music Manchester North. I'd also like to thank my crew who are out with us working terribly, terribly hard around the clock to make this tour happen. And when it does happen, it makes us look really good. There's a good 80 people making Elbow look good at the moment. And it's a vibrant, loving atmosphere, I'm very happy to say. I'm very lucky to be right in the middle of it all. I'm going to nip and get ready to get on stage. I'll see you next week. And hopefully it'll be a good gig tonight. In fact, it'll probably sound something like this.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Happy New Week, everyone.